I write down these Egyptian accounts for whosoever believes in such stories. I heard other accounts at Memphis, and I visited Thebes too, and Heliopolis for my inquiries. I have decided to record exactly the narratives that have been told to me, just as I heard them. The priests told me that Egypt was well governed and prospered greatly from the time of King Ramsanitus until the reign of his successor, Cheops. For Cheops reduced the people of Egypt to utter misery. First, he prevented their access to the temples so that no one could sacrifice in the sacred places. Then he forced all the Egyptians to labor on his tasks. They extracted stone blocks from mountain quarries in the Arabian-facing desert and were made to haul this stonework to the Nile. The blocks were transferred across the river on boats where other work crews received them. The Egyptian populace worked in gangs of 100,000 men, with each team tasked to work for 3 months. For 10 years, the people were very oppressed by this work. First, they constructed a paved roadway for the stones to be dragged along, and the building of this approach was only slightly less arduous than the construction of the main pyramid. 10 years of labor went to the making of this road and the underground chambers on the hill where the pyramids now stand. The king intended these chambers to be his tomb, and he directed a channel from the Nile River around his burial place. It took a further 20 years to construct the main pyramid. Its base was made to a square plan, with each side 800 feet long. Then its height was raised to a further 800 feet. The whole outer surface is polished stone that is precisely fitted in place. There is no block visible that is less than 3 feet in length. This pyramid was constructed like a stairway with successive tiers or steps. When this inner form was completed, the workmen used levers made of short wooden logs to raise the rest of the stones into position. First, they heaved up the blocks from ground level to the first tier of steps. Then they raised the stone again to the next level above the first tier. On each tier, they used new levers, or they reused existing devices to easily lift and convey the finished stone to its required elevation and position. I'm not certain about this account, but this was the construction method as explained to me. I remember what one Egyptian interpreter said to me. He said that the equivalent of 1,600 talents of silver had been spent on supplies of simple remedies and for onions and garlic to flavor their food. If this were the case, then think how much wealth was expended on the iron required for their tools or the provision of their food and clothing. Then think how much time was spent in the construction itself, including the hewing and carrying of stone blocks. Then there was the excavation of the underground chambers, which, I suppose, must have been a prolonged and difficult project. At the time when we visited Egypt, the ruler was King Ptolemy. But for most of its history, Egypt was ruled by native kings. King Chemes of Memphis ruled for 50 years. He constructed the largest of the three pyramids, which are considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world. The pyramids fill the beholder with astonishment and wonder due to their immense size and the great skill displayed in their construction. They say that more than 1,000 years have passed from the building of this pyramid to our own lifetimes. But other writers claim that the pyramids were constructed more than 3,400 years ago. And after all that time, the stones still remain in position, preserving their original form in a structure that has not collapsed. It is said that the stone from the pyramids was conveyed over a great distance from quarries facing Arabia. It's also claimed that they built mounds to raise the blocks into place, since cranes had not been invented at that time. These construction works must have been on an enormous scale, and yet the surrounding landscape consists of nothing but sand. There's no trace of mounds or evidence for the working of stones. This is remarkable, and it gives the impression that the pyramids were not produced by the slow labor of men. There must have been some sudden creation. They look as though some god had boldly set them down upon the empty sands. Certain Egyptians make a marvel out of these circumstances. They claim that the construction ramps were built from salt, or salt-like materials. Then, upon completion, the river was diverted to dissolve the redundant mounds. The construction works were therefore completely effaced without great human effort. However, I do not believe a word of these accounts. The entire material for the mounds was obviously brought in and raised by a massive labour force. Therefore, the same labour force could have removed and taken these materials back to their place of origin. They say that 360,000 men were employed in constructing this pyramid, and the entire structure was completed in 20 years. When King Chemes died, his brother Khephren succeeded the throne and ruled for 56 years. All writers agree that Khephren built the second pyramid at this site to emulate his predecessor. This structure equaled the first pyramid in the skill of its design, but it was smaller, since the length of its base was only a stade on each side. An inscription on the larger pyramid gives figures for the sum expended on its construction. The writing records that a sum equivalent to 1,600 talents was spent on vegetables and remedies for the workmen. A smaller pyramid has no inscription, but has some stone steps cut into one side. These two kings built the pyramids to serve as their tombs, but when the time came, neither of them were buried in these structures, for the multitudes had suffered great hardships in the building of these monuments, and they were filled with anger towards their kings due to many cruel and violent acts. Therefore, they openly threatened to tear apart the bodies of those who had made them suffer and cast their remains out of their tombs. Consequently, when each ruler lay dying, he bid his close kinsmen to bury his body secretly in an unmarked place. The third pyramid is far smaller than its predecessors, but it far surpasses them in the skill of its construction and the great cost of its stonework. The base length of each side of this pyramid is 3 plethora. On the north side of this pyramid, there is an inscription stating that its builder was Mycerinus. They say that this ruler was indignant at the cruelty of his predecessors and therefore aspired to live an honourable life devoted to the welfare of his subjects. He built the first 15 tiers of the outer edifice from the Ethiopian dark stone, which can be seen at Thebes, but he filled out the rest of the structure with the same stonework used in other pyramids. There are also 3 more pyramids, each of which is 1 plethrum long on each side. These pyramids each follow the same general construction as the larger examples, except for the smaller dimensions. The Egyptians say that these 3 pyramids were built for the wives of the 3 rulers that I have mentioned. It's generally agreed that the pyramids far surpass all other construction in Egypt. This is not simply due to their massive size, but to the great skill displayed by their builders. In fact, they say that the architects of these monuments are more deserving of admiration than the kings who provided the means for their construction. For the architects used their genius and ambition to achieve the project, while the kings merely employed great fortunes they had inherited and committed other men to grievous labour in the build. When Aelius Gallus was the prefect of Egypt, I accompanied him on a journey along the Nile as far as Syene and the frontiers of Ethiopia. And I visited these places with Gallus while he was in the company of numerous friends and soldiers. Leaving Alexandria, we came to Babylon, where there is a Roman fortress belonging to one of the 3 legions that now guard Egypt. There is a ridge extending down from the encampment to the Nile, where water is conducted up to the camp from the river using wheels and screws. More than 150 prisoners are employed in this work, and from this fort, the pyramids can clearly be seen, for they are positioned on the far banks of the river near Memphis. Memphis was the royal residence of the Egyptians. It's close to Babylon and only 3 sheweni from the Nile Delta. Memphis contains temples, one of which is devoted to Apis, who is the same deity as Osiris. This place is very sandy due to the dunes that are continually being heaped up by strong winds. At this place, I saw some of the sphinxes that have been partially buried by the dunes. One was buried up to its head, while the others were only half visible. From this site, a traveller could guess the power of the sandstorms and understand the dangers that might befall a man travelling on foot towards the temple. The city of Memphis is large and well populated. It is second only to Alexandria in its size and significance. There are many different races and people living intermixed in this city, just like Alexandria. 40 stadia from the city, there is a ridge on which numerous pyramids have been constructed. These are the tombs of kings. 3 of the pyramids are noteworthy, and two are even numbered among the seven wonders of the world. These two pyramids are about a stadion in height. They are quadrangular in shape, and their height is a little greater than the length of each of their sides. High up on the outer surface of these pyramids, there is a removable block. This slab is approximately midway between the sloping sides, or the north face of the pyramid. When this stone is pulled out, it reveals a long slanting passage leading to an inner vault. These two pyramids are positioned close together and were constructed on the same level, but further up the sloping ground there is another pyramid which is much smaller than the other two. This pyramid has a reduced size, but its construction involved much greater expense. From its foundations almost to the middle of its facade, the pyramid is constructed from black stone. This is the stone which mortars are made from. It comes from the mountains of Ethiopia and is therefore transported across a great distance. It is sought after and expensive because it's an extremely hard stone that is dense and difficult to work into shape. One of the marvelous things I saw at the pyramids must be mentioned. There are many heaps of chipped stone lying in front of the pyramids. Some of these stone fragments have the same shape and size as lentils. But other heaps are formed from splinters that resemble the husks of winnowed chaff. It is said that these mounds are the remains of fossilized food left by the ancient builders of the pyramids, and this certainly seems possible. The quarry which provided stone for the pyramids is located within sight of the structures. It is on the far Arabian side of the Nile, next to a rocky mountain called the Trojan Height. I must mention the pyramids of Egypt, but only for the sake of curiosity, for they are a superfluous and foolish display of wealth on the part of the Egyptian kings. It's generally thought that these rulers only built the pyramids to deny funds to their successors, or to hinder those who were plotting against them, or else to keep the common people occupied. The kings displayed great and meaningless vanity in these enterprises, and the remains of several unfinished pyramids are still in existence. There is a great pyramid in the district of Arsinoe, and there are two at Memphis, not far from the labyrinth which I will describe. Two more pyramids stand at a site that is now filled by Lake Moeris. This artificial lake is merely a vast excavation, but the Egyptians claim that it is one of their most remarkable and memorable achievements. The points of the pyramids at Lake Moeris are said to tower above the surface of the water. The other three pyramids are at Memphis, and their fame has reached every part of the world. These structures are immediately visible to people traveling along the Nile in either direction. They stand on a rocky elevation in the desert on the African side of the river. Nearby is a village called Busiris, where the local people are well practiced at climbing up the pyramids. The Sphinx stands in front of the pyramids. This object deserves to be described more than the pyramids, yet the Egyptians pass over it in silence. The inhabitants of this region regard it as a deity. They believe that King Harmeus is buried inside it, and the entire stone edifice was transported to this site. But the Sphinx was in fact carefully fashioned from the native rock. The face of this monstrous creature is painted with red ochre as a sign of reverence. The circumference of the head when measured across the forehead is 102 feet. The length of the monument is 243 feet, and its height from its stomach to the cobra on top of its headdress is 61 feet. The largest pyramid is made of stone taken from quarries on the Arabian side of the Nile. It is said that 360,000 men took 20 years to build it. The time taken to build all three pyramids was 88 years and 4 months. The following authorities have written about these structures: Herodotus, Ahuemerus, Duris of Samos, Aristagoras, Dionysius, Antisthenes, Demetrius, Demoteles, and Appian. Not all of these writers agree which kings were responsible for what constructions. Justice has therefore intervened, and the kings who aspired to the greatest displays of vanity have had their names confused or forgotten. Some of the writers record that 1,600 talents were spent on radishes, garlic, and onion for the workers. No traces survive that reveal the purpose or operations of the pyramids, but all around the site are scattered far and wide stone fragments shaped like lentils. These objects resemble the gravel found in Africa on the rocky edge of the Sahara. The crucial problem with the pyramids is how the masonry was lifted to such a great height. Some think that ramps of soda and salt were piled up against the structure as it was built. Then, after its completion, those ramps were dissolved, flooded by water from the river. Others believe that elevated bridges were built of mud bricks, and when the work was finished, the bricks were taken by people to build their houses. But another method is thought to be impossible, the idea that the Nile could have flooded the site and blocks were floated into place. This is because the river flows at a much lower level. There is, however, a well-like passage in the largest pyramid that is 86 cubits deep. It is said that water from the Nile was conducted into this passage via a channel. Thales of Miletus devised a method to measure the height of the pyramids. He realized that the shadow cast by a structure indicates its relative height. Such are the wonders of the pyramids. But the last and greatest of the pyramids prevents any further speculation involving the wealth and grandeur of kings. For the third pyramid, which is the smallest and most admired, was built for a mere prostitute named Rhodopis. And why should we admire the pyramids of these ancient kings when Julius Caesar paid 100 million sesterces merely for the ground where his great forum was built? Of course, I was already acquainted with the land of Goshen from the time when I first went to Egypt. For it was my purpose to see all the places which the children of Israel had encountered on their journey from there to the Red Sea, as they went forth from the land of Ramses. Memphis still contains the palace that Holy Joseph often used to visit. 6 miles from there, on the banks of the Nile, is the throne of Moses and Aaron. These thrones are positioned on a high ridge, and many steps lead up to the two turrets. One of these turrets has a roof that Moses used to climb upon when he addressed the children of Israel during their oppression. The other turret has no roof, and it was used for prayer. All around this site is the plain where the children of Israel made bricks. About a mile away, close to the riverbank, is the village where Holy Mary stayed with the Lord when she went into Egypt. There are many pyramids in the 12-mile stretch between Memphis and Babylonia. These buildings were constructed by Joseph for the storage of grain. Heliopolis is 12 miles from Babylonia, and at its center is a large piece of ground which contains the Temple of the Sun. The Garden of the Sun is in this place, and the great column called the Bomon. This is where the phoenix used to settle after 500 years of life.